Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Grace broadcast. I'm Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi. And I also welcome you on behalf of our partners in this ministry, Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Their learned and just pastor, one of my best friends, Elder David Wise, is their pastor. And again, both churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. We also meet together, and I think we will have resumed that meeting by the time you hear this message, every Wednesday evening in Starkville, Mississippi at 6 p.m. at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room. We want you to come and join us at both locations and worship the Lord with us. Go to our website for this broadcast, gospel-of-grace.com. And we also want you to listen to this broadcast on the Grace Alone Radio app. It's a free app for either an Apple or an Android device, Grace Alone Radio, or you can go to gracealoneradio.net and listen to the internet radio via that medium. But we want you to tune in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of Primitive Baptist doctrine, preaching, prayer, meditations, singing. We want you to avail yourself of that source. And we're going to continue on with the series called The Acts Addresses. As soon as we hear this blessed hymn, we'll be right back with you with today's message. Thank you so much for staying tuned here with us in the Gospel of Grace broadcast. I'm Joe Nettles, and I'm turning to my King James Translation Bible to Acts chapter 3, and I hope that you'll turn there as well. We are continuing on the series called The Acts Addresses. We're focusing on the sermons that were preached in the book of Acts. And I want to compare my doctrine, and I hope that you want to compare your doctrinal understanding of the truth of the Word of God with their Spirit-inspired, infallible preaching. Because if we can find that we are in harmony with them, then we find that we're on good standing. Now, we have started focusing more specifically on salvation in this portion of these messages. Now, why am I referring to salvation? Well, certainly salvation is the most important theme in the Word of God, glorifying the Word of God, glorifying God, and feeling and living in His salvation. But the salvation that is afforded by the gospel is most often preached by well-meaning people from pulpits all over, that the gospel is used as a means to save people from damnation to hell and to heaven. And that without you having a positive, believing, trusting response to that gospel, there is no way that you could ever obtain heaven. Well, friends, the gospel is never given to that end. The gospel is given as a good news. And what I just described for you is not good news. It's something to give you a sour stomach. It puts more upon you than you can bear. And my friends, also, it brings life and immortality to light. The gospel does not bring life and immortality. It does not bring eternal salvation to the hearer. But my friends, it will bring the salvation that the Lord has acquired for you through His own sovereign design and work. And He has applied it to you through the medium of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. That gospel message can elucidate unto you. It can open your eyes and reveal unto you and shine a great light on what the Lord has already obtained for you. That which cannot fail, that which is secure in Christ, that which determined by the Father before the world began, and that which the Holy Spirit has quickened in you without failing in one instance. I love that. I love that the gospel is a proclamation of the finished work of Jesus Christ, that the gospel is not a means of trying to save people and getting an increased number in heaven. Now, in Acts chapter 3, we see that this man at the beautiful gate, here as Peter and John came along to preach to him that he had been healed. Now this man, I want you to notice, this man had not been sitting there waiting for preaching. This man did not ask about Jesus Christ, nor was this man evangelized this day about the name of Jesus Christ. As far as we know, this man was abjectly ignorant of the name Jesus Christ. He was there that day to beg alms. He was there just trying to survive. He was there depending on other people for his well-being, his confidence, and his livelihood. And so Peter and John came on the scene, and this man was healed. And this man leapt, and this man was strengthened. And in the preaching of Peter that follows, here in verse 19, and we covered this a bit before in the previous message, but I want to bring another point to you. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Again, blotted out from who? Blotted out from Almighty Father in heaven, or blotted out in your experience, in your mind, in your heart, feeling and assuring yourselves that your sins have been put away truly by Jesus Christ? I would hold for you that it is the latter and not the former. The former salvation, our sins being blotted out from the eyes of Almighty God, is through the blood of Jesus Christ and Him alone. What the gospel affords us is that, my friends, in believing the gospel and understanding that the authoritative statements in Scripture assure us that those who do believe the gospel are already His children, then, my friends, in our experience, seeing that we are convicted of our sins and we believe the gospel, then those sins are blotted out from our own vision, from our own experience, just for a little while. Oh, and we need more of that gospel, then we can feel them blotted out one more time. Our sins continually rise up before our eyes. But through trust in Jesus Christ and believing the gospel, my friends, we see ourselves changed into that glorious image of the perfect Jesus Christ, even while we live here in this world, time and time again, until the final consummation when the Lord will come and conform us to His glorious image. I'll tell you, I love to hear the preaching of the gospel. It makes old Joe forget that he's old Joe just for a little while, and he makes himself, under the sound of the gospel, he sees himself as a child of the King. So here, notice he goes on in verse 21. Well, let's start in verse 20. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times," notice that plural, times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So here what's under consideration here, and the salvation under consideration here, is something that had been prophesied by the prophets. And then he's going to get even more specific. He says, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. First, I ask you to clear your mind from all preconceived notions and ask yourself, where is eternal perdition spoken of in that passage? Was hell, fire, damnation, and brimstone ever alluded to, hinted at, intimated in any way? No, it was not. But what was referred to was the promise and the prophesying of the Old Testament prophets, most specifically speaking of Jesus Christ, Moses prophesying, giving that prophecy that Jesus Christ would come. And in hearing this prophet, you would enjoy the blessings that had been promised unto the fathers. Well, what was under consideration there? The covenant given unto Abraham. My friends, nowhere, if you go back and you read of the covenant entries in the book of Genesis regarding the covenant that God made regarding Abraham, nowhere in there did he ever mention heaven. Never did he mention eternal life or redemption. But what he did promise Abraham was great temporal blessings and fellowship with his God. And my friends, that is what the gospel does for us. It does not obtain for us eternal life, but it does give us a sweeter and closer fellowship with God, realizing that our sins have been put away, that we don't have to approach God with a dreaded fear, but we approach him with a reverential fear, with boldness, my friends, because he has put our sins away. So, there's one thing I want you to understand regarding hellfire and damnation. Notice how rarely it was ever referred to and spoken of by the prophets in the Old Testament. Very, very rarely. But compare it to the number of passages of Scripture that adjure us by the authority of the Almighty God that we should obey him so that we may walk in his presence, that he would fight our battles, that we might have fellowship with the kindred in the camp. Oh, we see that over and over and over again. Compare the number of prophecies that might refer to hell and eternal damnation, and then compare them to the number of prophecies that just refer to the regathering of Israel, that they will be brought into a place of plenty and of joy and of fellowship together, safety dwelling with the Lord. Oh, my friends, the ones that might allude to hell are far, far, far fewer in number. But those great fellowship with our God passages, they abound. Now, if you will, go with me to Acts chapter 4. And here is still regarding the healing of this man. Here, Peter is being questioned. And here, Peter gives a sermon. And again, we're focusing on exhortations to salvation. And we're looking at them in context. We're not going to automatically assume that they are referring to busting hell wide open, but we are going to try to take them in their context. So in Acts chapter 4, notice what he says here in verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner, speaking of Jesus Christ. He carries on in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, what is he referring to there? What salvation is under consideration? Well, and what is he teaching in that verse? Well, my friends, I'll say this, if it's eternal salvation, then it is only by Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ. Anyone who was saved before the flood of Noah, anyone who will ever live in heaven after the flood of Noah, anyone who will ever live in heaven under the sound of the preaching of the gospel, anyone who will ever live in heaven being saved in their ignorance, my friends, any child that will ever live in heaven being quickened by the Holy Spirit of God in the womb, before it died, perished, or was slain by the abortionist, anyone who ever lives in heaven's pure world is there because of Jesus Christ. There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. But I posit for you that he's not saying that it is through invoking that name that causes you to go to heaven. Oh, but my friends, invoking that name does save us here upon this earth. Well, let's look at the man in question. Let's look at this man who was healed of his lameness. Now, if what he's telling you there is that you have to confess the name of Jesus Christ before you can obtain eternal salvation, well, where does that leave this crippled man? My friends, when they came upon the scene, this man was not invoking the name of Jesus Christ. We don't even have any evidence that he knew the name of Jesus Christ. This man was not showing some hunger and thirsting after preaching. No, my friends, but the apostles, in their spirit-inspired state, had a sense that this was a man of faith, and they healed this man. Well, how could this man be a man of faith, but yet he did not invoke the name of Jesus Christ? He had faith in the heart because the Holy Spirit had placed it there. And my friends, it was after he was evangelized and healed and strengthened and shown the manifest powers of the Holy Spirit of God that I'm sure he followed Jesus Christ from that point. But notice here, if it's invoking the name, that doesn't make sense in this man's case because everything was done for him before the name of Jesus Christ was ever mentioned. And I'll tell you, that's fitting because I want you to understand that before you ever came to an understanding of your need of a Savior, before you ever came to a clearer understanding that you are a sinner before Almighty God, not just somebody who makes a mistake, but a low-down, no-good, bushwhacking sinner. Before you ever came to that conclusion, Jesus, my friends, was already placed in your heart. You had to be quickened by the Holy Spirit of God before this took place. So this man was saved, all right, by the name of Jesus Christ in a temporal sense, but only because he had been saved by the sovereign work of Jesus Christ in an eternal sense. This man was saved from dependence on man. This day. This man was saved from terrible dread illness this day. Oh, there are multiple salvations to be had in Jesus Christ, but nowhere is there a mention here of hell. My friends, if just choosing Jesus Christ was to keep you out of hell, it seems like they would be giving that equation quite frequently in the book of Acts, but we don't see it mentioned. We never see it mentioned. No mention of hell. But no, my friends, this man was saved from dependence upon man and from his illness and from sadness and despair here upon this earth by the name of Jesus Christ. We notice in verses 34 and 35, I find it conspicuous that on the heel of this preaching, it says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." This man before was depending on men. And if you were depending upon the generosity of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the Romans, then my friends, truly this man was in a great pickle. But friends, he entered into the church this day. My friends, being able to confess the holy name of Jesus Christ was brought into the number and was able to live a more assured, confident, and safe life. Remember what he said in Acts chapter 2, the preaching of Peter, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Again, hell not mentioned, but hell on earth is something that we can save ourselves from through the preaching of the gospel. Now, if you will, go with me to Acts chapter 9, and let's examine another gospel transaction that I've heard many people say had eternal ramifications. Here in the setting, the context of Acts chapter 9, Saul of Tarsus has been stricken down by the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus. He was not seeking to get his soul saved. He was not seeking a preacher. He was not trying to take heed of the voice of a well-meaning Sunday school teacher or grieving grandmother. No, he was there with pep in his step, waiting to go and destroy Christians and Christianity willy-nilly and as zealously as he could. He was headed for Damascus for that end. But now the Lord, having changed him, he'd gone into the house of Judas, and now the Lord has visited a preacher named Ananias. Verse 10, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias?' And he said, 'Behold, I'm here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus.'" I'm going to tell you what, when Ananias heard that name, Saul of Tarsus, a man of such ignobility, a man of such infamy, it must have stricken just cold bumps all over him. He said, "You go and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus." Notice this, "For behold, he prayeth." I'm going to tell you what, Saul of Tarsus had been vocalizing so-called quote-unquote prayers all of his life in the temple and in the synagogues and on the street corners. But here the Lord says, no, now he is finally praying. Why? Because no man can truly pray unto the Lord unless the Lord has given him the spirit of prayer in his heart. No man is going to call out for God as his Father unless he's been given the spirit of adoption. So he said, behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered. How did Ananias answer? Did Ananias answer this way? Lord, my understanding is that I've got the power in the gospel to change every goat in this world into a sheep. And you just let me loose on this Saul of Tarsus. And I believe through the Holy Ghost power that you've given me and my ability to spread the gospel that I can go and I can get him changed, Lord. I can save him from hell. I want to add another number to heaven. Let me add him, Lord. No, that was not the response of Ananias. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Didn't exactly sound like this blessed preacher, and I believe this was a fine, wonderful, faithful, stolid soldier in Christ for the Lord to call on him and send him for this duty. But his understanding right now, my friends, is that unless the Lord does a change, there'll no change be made. Well, the Lord is telling him, I have made a change. Behold, he prays. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Why must he do it? Because the Lord has called him to do it. The Lord has brought him already into everlasting life. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, again, let's see what Ananias did not say. Ananias did not say, I'm here to offer you eternal life through the preaching of this gospel I bring unto you, Saul, you wicked ne'er-do-well. I'm here to offer you eternal life if you'll just respond in a proper way. If you will let the Lord in your heart and give me your hand, you can say these words and be saved today by this gospel. That is not at all what Ananias said. Ananias, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Is he talking about this man needs to be born again here? No, my friends, this man had already been born again. In Galatians chapter 1, he said as much. When the light shone unto him, he was born again. He'd already been born again. Here he is sitting, huddled, blind, and convicted over his sins by the power of the Almighty God. No, my friends, he needed to receive some sight. You see, the gospel brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. And as this gospel minister came and preached this, my friends, the scales, that which caused him to be beholden of his sight, that which would keep him from seeing the more full, refulgent rays of the brightness and the glory of the finished work of Christ. Oh, those scales fell from his eyes and received the Holy Ghost. He didn't need to be born again. He'd already been born again. But here, through the hearing of the preaching of the gospel, no ultimatums, no threats, no woulda, coulda, shouldas, no saying if you'll just opt in, it'll all be made real. No. And immediately, see, Saul didn't even have time to say anything. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now, many people think that Ananias was sent there so that Saul could finally fully be saved for heaven. Kindred, let me tell you something. He was already a chosen vessel of the Lord. The Lord had quickened him on that road to Damascus. The Lord made sure to bring him into his family because the Lord did it the way he always does it. He doesn't use a middleman. He does it directly. He does it through the medium of Jesus Christ being placed in the heart by the Holy Spirit of God. And then and only then can someone truly be saved by the gospel. Oh, my friends, this man, this day, you know, he huddled there in that darkness of blindness, Saul of Tarsus did, just remembering the things that he'd done. Oh, before the bright light shone unto him and he was born again of the Spirit of God, he would think back with great relish on the things that he did, persecuting the church, slaying Christians, holding the coats for those who stoned Stephen. But now he's huddled in this house of Judas in the street called Straight, not even able to walk himself around, just left with the remembrances of what he had done unto these Christians. Before he didn't care, but now he did. But through the preaching of Ananias and receiving of the Holy Ghost, it was an affirmation from heaven on high to this blessed apostle that his sins had been fully put away through the blood of Jesus Christ, whom up to that point he had persecuted. Oh, our Lord is sovereign, and he will have his children. He came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this was the Father's will which sent him, that all he hath given him, he should lose nothing, but raise it up again the last day. Saul of Tarsus is one of those little sheep, and the Lord had fetched him into his family with that undeniable, powerful, effective voice of the Holy Spirit of God, that Word of God being spoken in his heart. And it's then and only then that we can respond and be saved in the way that the gospel can save us. My friends, until we're able to speak with you again, I encourage you, I implore you, go ahead of me and look in these chapters and these messages of Acts and notice in context, without preconceived notions, the messages of salvation. And we'll continue with in this vein when we speak with you again. Until that time, may the Lord's precious blessings be upon you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the Master Spirit.